Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into week 13 snap reactions here. We're doing tight ends. So we'll do a quick rundown here of all the tight end situations that are, I think, are relevant, and basically all of them. So just give an idea where sort of we're at. So Zach Ertz, past 3 weeks, 91 routes on 103 dropbacks, so heavy usage there. He's tight end 12 in expectation on the season, and is up at 15.4 points per game. He's more like a tight end 6 in terms of the numbers that you would look at since he's been in Arizona. So good stuff there for him. Again, he's an every week starter up from where he was in Philly. So that's an improvement there. All right, with and so like for example, I had a spot, and we're just discussing this in the GroupMe chat today, and I'm recording this on Tuesday, where I had I traded Adams for Kittle in tight end premium, and I said, you know, I need basically a difference making tight end, and I had Ertz, I think I had Higbee, right? The Higbee, like, he was fine, but I could, and I had depth at receiver, like, in the way to get an elite asset from my depth at receiver was to trade Adams for Kittle, and I could sort of backfill the receiver position. Well, lo and behold, Ertz has been pretty good since he's been in Arizona. So I've like started him a couple of times when Kittle's been hurt. But I think lo and behold, it's going to be a decent, it's a good situation for him. I'd like to see a little bit more as we sort of go along on the, on the Hopkins return. So we'll see where that is. But good on Ertz so far, and we'll see what happens in the coming. Contract availability and that sort of stuff here going forward. All right, Atlanta, you have Kyle Pitts, 26, 16, 21, 17% target share the last four. He's tight end 5 in points per game. He's underperforming in terms of his touchdown rate as well. He's tight end 5 in terms of expected points per game at 12.2. He's at 10.5 actual points per game. So he's underperforming. Lo and behold, I think it all points to a good start to his career. Obviously, I think he's got elite track. One of the things I'm looking for on, in AOD 2021 or 2022. Now, what I'm writing in 2021 for 2022 is some of the stuff that, like, we look for in terms of elite tracks, and that early stuff in yards per route run for tight ends really is a big deal. So that confirms really his profile from coming into college to now. Good, really good performances here. All right, Andrews here over the past 4 weeks, 19, 28, 31, 24% target share. He's first in terms of expected points per game on the season. He is the only player other than Travis Kelce to own that title, and that was going back to 2019. Kelce, 2019, 2020 was the expected points leader. It's actually Mark Andrews. And when you look at him, he in the last 4 weeks leads the league in routes. Again, there's some buys and stuff in there, but you sort of get the idea. That was something that we would have never had that conversation about Andrews before. So more passing volume and getting more involved. He's run routes on 89% of dropbacks, and he's been targeted on 23% of his routes. So really good numbers there. Those are elite track numbers. Tommy Tremble, greater than 45% of routes the past three games. 37th in routes over the past four games, and he's got 8.2 points total in those three games. So yeah, interesting. He's being used a little bit more. It's not particularly impactful there in Carolina, but it's worth noting. All right, Cole Kmetz, in the midst of an 18.2% target share season, which is pretty wild. 16th in terms of expected points per game. 13th in routes on the season. So he's being used and treated like a tight end too. But like, this is one where this could get better. And it's not an elite indicator performance. Again, his yards per route run just isn't there for that. And that's typically something that we see early, right? The guys that are elite track guys are elite track early. But he's probably checked a box to sort of stay around on the production track. And maybe he looks a little bit more like a Tyler Higbee than he necessarily does like you know, like a Kelce or, you know, someone like that. It's obviously a lot to ask. You sort of get the idea. He's in the, you know, maybe he posts a tight end one season, but maybe it's more like tight end two production. Again, how valuable is that? Kind of depends on the format and the cost. You know, I've got him in like 22 man, and it's like, it doesn't help me very much. But in 28 man, if he's a third tight end or something like that, and we're playing tight end premium, and I could flex him in spots, like that's much more interesting. So, you know, I think he's very much it depends on what the format, the game you're playing is. CJ Uzama's got 10% market share of targets in his past five games, at least that. So you look at him, he's 11th in routes. He's 34th in actual expected points per game. So not a ton of high-value usage there, but he's actually performed pretty well on the season so far, over expectation against some of the touchdown luck earlier on in the season. And again, it's more of a desperation heave-ho type of thing. And you're hoping for, you know, you're hoping for a touchdown. You're hoping, you know, one of those, that 10% target share can net you a touchdown is really what you're hoping for. But you're probably not expecting high-end tight end one production on any sort of consistent basis. That's definitely a one-off type principle. You know, maybe monthly or every other month, something like that. All right, Cleveland, and you got Austin Hooper at 12.5% target share, 27th in expected points per game, 26th in routes on the season. Njoku, 29th in expected points per game, 31st in routes on the season there. So, again, they sort of look pretty similar. In terms of like their usage and all that stuff, not super, you don't love that for them to be sort of pulled in together, looking a lot like that in terms of, you know, splitting up target share. I mean, if you just, the two of them combined for almost 24% target share, right? If it was consolidated in one person, that'd be really good. It's just not at this point super impactful, honestly, for either one of them. It is worth noting at the time of this recording, we've gotten the news in that David Joku was actually on the COVID-19 reserve list. So this could potentially bump up Austin Hooper and Bryant as well. If you know, if you're looking for some tight end action there, that's a spot you could potentially look for. That I'm sure Austin Hooper is probably rostered and you know, but if you have him or something like that, he might uptick a little bit in your conscience. And the other thing about this situation is like, there's not a ton, you know, I was looking at the receiver stuff. There's not a ton at the, at receiver that really scares you. If you're, in this, you know, if you're looking at this offense, it's like Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, we'll check out that episode for that, but it's really Landry and not a whole heck of a lot. So if you do get some consolidation in this space, like it would be interesting. I just don't know. You know, I don't know. And we're expecting Bryant to land up on IR anyways, right? So this is a situation. It's a potential situation where he ends up on IR. I was just reading it. It just came out in the past day here that his high ankle sprain, like they're not expecting him back. So this isn't a situation where he's going to backfill the Joku situation. It might actually open up for Hooper. So I think that's an interesting one down the stretch. Schultz, 96% of snaps the last 3 weeks or more, right? So he's really high-end guy in terms of usage. 19, 15, 12% target share over the past 3 weeks. Just really solid in terms of volume. 10th in terms of expected points per game. Like from where his cost was, you'll absolutely take that wide receiver one, tight end one, tight end two. And again, if you're flexing him in a premium league, like that's a great situation to be in. Double-digit target percentage each week for Noah Fant. He's at 16.5%. Just hit by way of reference, Alberto, 6.6. Fant is at tight end 9 in terms of expected points per game. So, again, he's sort of – that's the problem. Like, Dalton Schultz is 10 and was a – you know, wasn't even a drop in the bucket in terms of what Fant's cost was in the offseason, right? Just to give you an idea, like that's kind of If you can find, I think tight end can be really lucrative because you can find places down the board where, you know, especially in deeper formats, it's a little bit different. If you're playing a shallower format, Fant's a little bit more valuable because you have a hard time taking as many high odds bets later on just because you don't have the room to take them. But I think the Schultz one is an interesting comp to Fant when you look at where they came from in cost and how to play the position. So again, that's very much a different, you know, obviously I would take Fant over Schultz, but they're very much a different guys being structured differently in terms of cost can have similar production. It's just a matter of using our profiles to sort of look at those guys and identify them. All right, Hockenson in Detroit, 19.6 target share on the season. He's tight end 7 in terms of expected points. He's tight end 7 in points per game. So right there, with what I think is a struggling offense, right, it's tight end 1 production, hope to have a little bit more upside. He's cooled off after an early start. Josiah DeGuara has taken over for the tight end role there. Now that Robert Tonyan is out, but he hasn't cracked 10% target share, so you're kind of moving on. Jack Doyle, 7, 15, 25, 16, 5% target shares over the last 5. 3 of the last 4 have been in double digits. However, it's a little bit erratic, and that's basically been the high water mark of the season. So, are we heading back to double digits, or are we sort of staying where we've been, and were those 3 weeks the outliers? That's kind of where we're looking at. I don't have a ton of faith in him, although I think he could probably do worse. And there's it's kind of consolidated around him in terms of the tight end position. There's not a ton there going on, even though people interested in Mo Alie-Cox and some other guys. It's actually been Doyle that's doing most of the work. It's not that valuable of work. An interesting spot start maybe, or a waiver wire addition. James O'Shaughnessy, 12 and 21% target share. That's 5 and 6 targets the past 2 weeks. 11th in routes run the past 2 weeks at the tight end position in the NFL. So a notable addition there. I think he was on IR and now he's come back. So definitely interesting, especially with Dan Arnold out now too. So that spot is officially interesting for Oshak Hennessy. Travis Kelce, tight end 2 in terms of expected points. First season, as I mentioned before, where he's not been tight end 1. But again, it's still really good. He still could catch Andrews in that stat. So I'll be watching for that. I think Andrews is probably going to hold him off. But Kelce, it's still, this is the thing with eroding from at a position where you can actually erode some and still be highly productive, right? If he comes down 10 or even 20%, he's still a high-end tight end 1. And that's just the advantage that he built in, right? He can still regress some. And again, I don't think it's entirely age-based. I think some of it's probably age-based. I think he's a lesser player than he was, at least statistically that shows up. But I do think, he can still produce, and this is a good example of it, right? He's dropped from tight end 1 to tight end 2. And, it's a difference in terms of if you look at it, he was tight end 1 by a good margin. Now he's tight end 2, so that's a significant fall off. But even if you look 10-20% from that height, it's that you have a lot of grace with which to age coming from where he came from. Jared Cook, there was a lot to be made, I think, in terms of some other guys maybe working in, Parham and the like. 5, 4, 3, 5, 5, 4 are the targets in the past 6 games. He is tight end 19 in expected points per game. So he's definitely on the tight end 2 landscape. It's relatively consistent, but high or low ceiling would be what I would say. High ceiling isn't something that you're going to probably get out of Cook. And maybe if you get a couple touchdowns, but from just a target share, overt volume stuff, you're going to have a hard time with him. Tyler Higbee is 3rd in routes since week 10, which is the beginning of the post Robert Woods 2021 edition of the Rams. 0.62 yards per route run, just brutal. He's run significantly more routes than Odell Beckham Jr. during that time and just hasn't done anything with them. This has been a pretty big disappointment. I was really excited about him because I thought there was a lot of opportunity to carve out. Big time disappointment for Higbee this year. Foster Moreau was the darling. He was like the Javonte Williams of the tight end position this past week. 8% target share without Waller. You know, he's probably on your tight end two landscape. I hope we didn't blow too many waiver wire bucks on him. Gesicki, double-digit target share each week. Right in the tight end, mid tight end one range in terms of expected points per game. Like, he kind of is exactly that. Like, that's who he is, and we'll sort of see contract situation wise going forward what he ends up becoming. I'll be really interested by that. Conklin's tight end 11 in expected points per game, tight end 10 in routes, north of 20% target share in week 13. And Adam Thielen is out. Open up the top on the upside. And I think he's an interesting one here down the stretch of you might have some additional spots to play him. So, and this opens up with, you know, as you look at some of the guys, for example, that might have been in the flex consideration, for example, just using this as an example, where there was a Damian Harris spot that he might have been flexing. If he's now injured, he's dealing with this hamstring thing. We'll sort of see what the longevity of that injury is and all that. But Conklin could be a guy that could backfill that spot in tight end premium, right? So, or he might even be able to do it in regular non-premium. This is going to consolidate. You know, it's going to be KJ Osborne. It's going to be Justin Jefferson. It's going to be Conklin. It's going to be probably Dalvin Cook, it looks like, because he's going to be back this week. That's where it's going to consolidate. I think that's really good news for Conklin. Conklin's playing pretty well, and he's going to be this year's version of Dalton Schultz. Evan Ingram's nursing double-digit target shares. You know, he's been pretty consistent in that, given that everyone else has been basically out. So I was looking at the and you can check it out in the receiver show, but basically 10 guys between like 9.9 and like 11.5 target shares at the receiver position there. Everyone's just been hurt and sort of it's just consolidated right around. All right, Dallas Goedert coming off the back of a big week 13 performance. He's had 33 and 24% target shares in the past two out of the last 3 weeks. So big time performances there. Again, I think his ceiling, I don't know if he's got like tight end one ceiling just because some of the passing volume stuff gives me a little concern. He doesn't run all their routes, which is also a little concerning. And maybe next year that's something that they sort of build into it a little bit more and lean into that. But if they're going to lean into this running game, I think it's a cap ceiling situation. He's just going to be a tier down. But I think he fits in the Fant range. You know, he's an interesting arb there. He's probably fits in like a, you know, I haven't stacked those tight ends up, but I think he probably fits in like that range. They strike me as very similar. And Goddard maybe even a better player. Pat Freiermuth has been pretty robust in terms of his workload. 20%, 20%, 18, 16, 10, 13. That's since week 8. He's tight end 17 on the season and expected points per game at 8.6. He's outperforming that at 9.5 points per game. And again, that's only been higher in recent weeks. So he's definitely trending in the right direction with some good volume. I feel confident on him as like in that tight end 1-2 conversation. There's a lot of guys in there that we might have exposure to and that have actually overperformed maybe what we've expected. So Freiermuth being one of those, I didn't really expect this year. Again, this is just this sort of stock recycle Cole Kmet type pick, right? We're just going to continuously make that bet. Second, third round of rookie drafts. Like that is going to be a bet we will just do over and over and over again. And Freiermuth definitely cashing that in for us there. But again, that leaves us with probably some depth. This is going to be like the running back day two running back thing with tight ends. It's going to look a lot like that in years going forward. We're going to have very similar profiles on our teams is would be what my guess would be. So it's going to require some patience, but we're getting an early payoff from Freiermuth. It's really nice. Gerald Everett was pretty disappointing, but again, he's been north of 10% in terms of his target shares. He's got a 20. He's got north of 20. Five in there as well in terms of his target shares over the past 4 weeks. He's tight end 7 in routes in the past 4 weeks. So pretty good there in terms of some usage stuff. He's over 1.2 yards per route run as well. So not gonna bowl everyone over with a tight end, you know, 3 stretch probably based on that volume, but I do think he's relevant. He's probably not on your waiver wires or anything like that, but he's, I think, relevant as a streamer anyways. Next up here, we've got San Francisco. I left out a couple of teams, too. I left out Tennessee. Like, it's just largely disappointing. And I frankly don't want to talk about Firkser anymore. Kittle with a huge game, 40% target share, 12 targets, huge game this past week. I think it was north of 40 points in terms of safe league, so really killing that. That's an awesome outcome there. Kittle, you know, firmly in that conversation, you know, around, you know, how do you sort of, what do you value at the tight end position? You're not going to get him at tight end one, I don't think, because you're just not going to have people that actually value him. People's values typically aren't there in terms of being like the intermediate position. It's either old or young, so you're going to get Kelsey or Pitts. You're kind of not going to catch that middle, I don't think, on anyone like Kittle or Andrews, who I think, you know, even he could have an argument. I don't think it's probably a convincing one, or I'm not going to convince anyone to probably do that, but you sort of look at the guys that could have that argument. Hockenson, maybe not quite as much. You know, Waller's been banged up a little bit. You know, so is Kittle. So when you look at it, it's interesting. The cleanest guys, it's probably Andrews, Kelsey, and Pitts, if we're being honest with ourselves. But Kittle up there, and this is the reason why, right? This is what we see. And I look a lot at this data, and I'm prepping for 2022 release. And what I consistently see is these guys that have this, you know, the high cost guys, you know, the guys that have what I would consider are like high end assets. They are capable of bending the curve. And this is what you see, right? You don't see these types of performances out of guys like, like, this is meant as no insult because I like the player, Dalton Schultz. Right? This is what you see out of Dalton Schultz. You don't see 12 target, 40% target share games where you just, you know, go north of 40. But you could see like it's a flat-ish tier in there. And all of the guys we've talked about that are flat tier in there, right? What's the difference? Well, the floor is higher. I think the ceiling is massively higher, right? That's kind of, if you're sort of looking at it, right, what's the difference between kind of like the lower, you know, that's more like the crawl space area. And they're, you know, to keep using the metaphor, I guess, it's like Kittle is very much like the roof that sort of has a high arc, right? You can really get high up in that roof if you hit it just right, whereas that's never going to happen when you're in the low crawl space with an even ceiling. So so just to sort of continue that metaphor, I don't know if it makes any sense, but I figured I'd just rock with it because that's what I'm thinking about in terms of, you know, talking about that upside and just the differences that we can find. Gronk north of 15% each of the past 3 weeks since he's been back. So, again, he's way up there in terms of expected points. So every week that he plays, he's in. And you could, you know, the funny part is we keep talking about all these guys that we're kind of interested in. And I think as we play more tight end premium, we're going to get better at it and get more optimized in our roster construction. And I think that's a place where I think we're probably ahead of the curve in terms of that here at AOD. And being in on guys like Gronk, like there's a lot of guys in this range that we're going to sort of be in on. Like you could have 4, 5, 6 options that are all in that sort of same range of the position, and that didn't cost you very much. So it's really exciting here as we sort of look, you know, as I sort of reflect on this year and look forward. I think that's a place where we're gonna be able to do a pretty good job going forward. Again, we've solved quarterback is the wrong word, but we know the quarterback profiles to look for. We know where to sort of invest in them, and I think we are doing a pretty good job of that at tight end too, and how much we want to invest in them too, which is just a lot of it with volume as well. All right, so the good news, and I left a modifier hanging in the group chat the other day I said Logan Thomas doesn't have an ACL, which was meant to say that he doesn't have a torn ACL. There was some confusion there that people thought that he actually didn't have an ACL in his knee. I believe that he does. I have no reason to not believe that. It was a hanging modifier. And so he does not have an ACL injury, which is nice. We're really excited about that here. A guy that we've, I think, come to appreciate more and more. And but it's probably going to be extended absence. I would assume that he's going to miss the rest of the year, right? If I had him, I'm just kind of assuming that he's out. And anything else we get is gravy. So we got to readdress. What are we going to do? Well, Ricky Seals-Jones is a question for this week. We'll sort of see what the injury status is there. And we'll be watching that. But John Bates, a rookie that we had, you know, on the rookie draft board, 13% target share this past week. Again, he could step into a situation where it's prime time, just lots of volume. And listen, you don't need to be excellent with the type of volume that he could get to be fantasy viable. You just need him to be like not vomit on himself, and he can be, you know, running, you know, 35 plus routes at 1 yard per route run, you know, with three catches, like all of a sudden, like, voila, you're basically at 10 points, right? I think, I think that those are absolutely things that could happen. You know, you kick in, you know, a third of a touchdown per game, right? And all of a sudden, like, it's definitely usable. So I think John Bates is one that's definitely interesting, and there isn't a ton to block him in terms of the future there either. So if he shows well, absolutely. There's not a ton committed to Logan Thomas. I think there's some guarantees. There'll probably be some guarantees if he's injured in the offseason, can't pass a physical and all those things. Like they'll probably keep him. That said, that there's absolutely a developmental track for a guy like John Bates, where a guy like maybe Noah Gray from Kansas City, not so much. So I didn't talk about Dawson Knox because I can't talk about Dawson Knox. I left out the Monday Night Football. There wasn't much to learn other than the fact that Dawson Knox couldn't catch a cold in the daycare. But besides that, that's your rundown here of the tight end position. Again, good luck. And I'll have your waiver wire show coming out here. But again, O'Shaughnessy Bates, a couple names I think can help you here down the stretch. Again, Conklin, I think he's probably rostered, but you know, he's probably going to be pushed up in terms of Thielen not being there. KJ Osborne is one as well, obviously a receiver, but that's one to definitely think about. Okay, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.